There is only one place where a child of God may call home, the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. You do not let your children live in someone else's house, but in yours. So God wills that His children live as members of His house, and His house, 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us, is the Church of the living God. One who partakes of Jesus Christ by faith and says, "I don't need to be in the church as a member," contradicts their confession of belonging to Jesus Christ. This attitude is very common. There's the attitude today in Christianity that one can go to basically any church available. It really doesn't matter what it teaches. What matters is whether it's convenient for me and fits my schedule or is appeasing to me. But I don't need to join a true church which emphasizes the truths of the Bible, and I don't really need to come under the rule and the care of the church. I can worship God all alone. I don't need to be in the church at all. I can listen to God's word, perhaps, on the radio. That is contrary to the confession that one makes when we say, "I'm a child of God." If God, then, is my Father, then I belong to His family, and I must place myself in His house. I must put myself under His care and under His rule. And all of this is to be found in the church, which is the house of the living God, the church, the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. It is because God sees it that way too. The church is our home, and we are to be in His house. And because God sees it that way, God also seeks His wandering children and brings them home. If your child is not at home at supper time, you go out and you seek that child. You call the child. A father will say to his teenage son and daughter, "This is the time I want you home." So also God seeks and restores us in repentance, and when He does so, He calls us to the church. We read Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. These all continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, one with each other." God wills to bring us home to His church. This is what we are taught as we continue our series on the book of Ruth. This is what we are taught as we come to the homecoming of the prodigal daughter, Naomi. The book of Ruth is primarily about Ruth, the Moabitess, who was brought into the church in the Old Testament and became one of the ancestress of our Lord. Naomi, her mother-in-law, was the means that God used to bring Ruth in. Naomi, with her husband Elimelech, had left the land of Canaan. That was a serious mistake. For in the land of Canaan, God had promised that He would meet with His people. He had pitched His tabernacle in Shiloh. He had given to them the prophets and the priests. And that was the land where God would reveal Himself and give to them the bread of His word. But Naomi and Elimelech left the land of Canaan for earthly bread. It was a time of famine. They had heard that in Moab there would be plenty of earthly things. And they began to live for earthly things, just like the prodigal son. So also the prodigal daughter, Naomi, left the land of Canaan and lived as a prodigal, living first for the world, not for God. She left her father's house. She left the place where God showed her the promise of Jesus Christ. But God brought her home, as God brings His children home, every one of them. Very powerfully and very soberingly is the word of God that God brings His children home, as Naomi confesses. When God brings us home, it's not as in the days of Naomi that He brings us from one country to another, but it means that God brings us into His fellowship, into His house, the place where all His blessings are stored up for us, where we might live in the security and the peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this house is His church. We come now today in the book of Ruth to the verses 19 through 22. Let's read those verses together. Remember the context. Ruth and Naomi, her mother-in-law, are leaving the land of Moab and returning to the land of Canaan. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. It was the faithfulness of God which brought Naomi home, something that Naomi, in all of the bitterness of her soul, knew. She says, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again. The Lord brought me home. That's always the way it is. Of ourselves, we get caught in sin. Not only do we fall into sin, but soon we cannot find our way out, and very soon sin would place the chains upon us. But Jehovah brings us home. Not only brought Naomi home, but ruling graciously over her in such a way as to bring home Ruth. God used the weakness and sin of Naomi to accomplish a great blessing, to bring with Naomi yet another, Ruth, and out of Ruth to bring the promised Savior. God is so very, very faithful, isn't he? So faithful to Naomi that even her own folly and her sin, in the end, must serve the purpose of God. It was God's purpose that through Naomi, God would bring Ruth, his chosen, into the land of Canaan, and out of Ruth would come the Christ child. That's how faithful God is. God brings us home. Remember the significance of Elimelech and Naomi's leaving the land of Canaan. Though we might say it was very understandable, it was very wrong. The bottom line we saw was that they were earthly. They were considering their life from the point of view of what shall we eat and drink and put on. Their bellies were empty. God was chastening his people in the days of the judges with a famine. They came to the point that they could no longer endure. And Moab looked very good. It was not that they first lusted after the lifestyle of the heathen, but they said, we must, after all, make a living. They left the home that God made for them in Canaan, and they came to a land where God was not pleased to reveal himself in the fellowship of his people. But now God brought Naomi home, and that's a beautiful thing. To be brought home is to be given the assurance of our inheritance. To be brought home is to be assured that we will be fed and loved and lived with God our Father. And that's the significance also of the Church of Jesus Christ. In the Church, God gives to us the assurance of his love. He feeds us with his word, and we enjoy the fellowship of the living God. By leaving Canaan and leaving her spiritual home, Naomi had placed herself in spiritual jeopardy. But God, in his faithfulness, would bring her home. He brings her home as a repentant, believing child of God. He does this as the good shepherd. Naomi's homecoming again underscores a great biblical truth of the irresistible grace of God which leads us to repentance. Naomi's homecoming represents Jesus Christ as the faithful Savior who goes out to seek and to save those that are lost, and the irresistible grace of God operating through his word to bring the elect of God to repentance and into the fold of the church. Let's remember that. Let's remember that our place as a believer in Jesus Christ and a place in His church is due to the wonderful grace of God. That we belong to God, that we love His church, means that God has been merciful to us and has blessed us. God bringing Naomi home showed four wonderful things. It showed, first of all, His great love for Naomi. Naomi was His daughter, one for whom Christ would die, and thus precious in God's sight, and it grieved Him that she would live apart from Him and seek to be satisfied in something other than Him. And in love, He brought her back home. God, secondly, showed His great grace. If God were at all like us, how would it go? Well, then every time that you and I walk away from God and foolishly choose the way of sin, God would say to us, well, you find your own way back then. If God were like us, that's the way it would go. But God is ever gracious. He does not deal with us as we deserve. He deals with us according to His own mercy in Jesus Christ. And still more, God showed His compassion. Naomi was miserable in Moab. She was wretched and she was troubled. How can any child of God say, I'll live in the world and be happy? You can't do that if the Spirit of God is in you. Foolishly, we may choose the way of sin, but if you're a child of God, you bring upon yourself misery and anxiety and all types of difficulty. But God, in compassion, brought her out of that misery. And still more, God showed His power, His mighty power to reach down from His heaven and soul work in our hearts to lead us into the way of repentance and the way of chastening to bring us home. We emphasized in the past weeks that God did indeed chasten His daughter, that from an earthly point of view, Naomi lost everything in order that she might learn that she had everything in God alone. Now, sometimes we reason this way. It's a terrible thing, but we can do it. We reason, God is faithful. God will restore me from the way of sin. So it doesn't matter if I walk contrary to my confession of Jesus Christ. I don't need to take the spiritual walk very seriously. Then we say, I want Moab for a little while. I want the fun of this world, the drinking, the parties, the swearing, the sexual tantalizing. I want to show an attitude of scorn towards authority, too. I want a little bit of the world along the way. I see the world's young men and women, and I want to be like them. I want to live my life by my own rules. Oh, I want to go to heaven. I want to have a Christian funeral, and I want Christians weeping for me and a minister preaching the sermon. But I want fun in Moab, too. And my comfort is, well, God will be faithful, and He'll bring me out, won't He? Now, that's wrong. That's horribly wrong. That's blasphemy. One reason is that it's so contrary to the confession of a child of God. That's hypocrisy. If we love the Father, then we love His home and His people, and we want to experience joy and peace in walking with Him in this world. But there's another reason why it's so wrong, a more realistic reason that Naomi points out. Because of the grievous means that God will use to restore us, God's chastenings are grievous. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that. It is better to learn under the Word of God to walk faithfully with God. It's better to do it that way than to learn it over the course of God's severe chastenings, over the course of 10 or 20 years of your life in which God breaks you down and you lose everything. It's better to learn of the ways of God through the preaching of the gospel and through catechism classes in the church where people and young children are taught. It's better to learn it that way than sometimes to learn it through the harsh and grievous chastenings of God in life. Naomi said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Now that was not an accusation against God. That was not fault-finding with God, but that was a frank, honest confession that God's chastenings were grievous and painful to her. We would put it this way, I have a bitter pill to swallow. God's chastenings are rooted in love. He is not an indifferent father. God takes it very seriously. And when you stray, and when I stray from Him, He does exactly what is necessary to restore us. And sometimes those chastenings bring lifelong reminders and burdens. They can be very difficult. Mark it down. If you are a child of God and you foolishly play the prodigal, you willfully depart from Him and His church, believing that the world would be a better place for you, then yes, God will be faithful to you and bring you to repentance. But He will do so through grievous afflictions. And when it is finished, you will learn to fear the folly of your sin. You will learn that when you idolize the way of sin, you were playing the part of a fool. But Naomi is not only confessing that God's chastenings are grievous, but she's confessing that now God has brought her to see how grievous was her sin. When she says that she is bitter, she is expressing the truth that God had given her to know the folly of her own sin. She says, "Though Jehovah has testified against me." That word testified is the same as used repeatedly in the Old Testament scriptures to refer to a legal idea of a courtroom. She means to say, I appear in God's court, and I appear before God who sits before me, and God testifies against me too. He knows. And He has brought compelling evidence to my heart about what I have done. And God has made it very plain that I have walked in the way of sin. And that sin is a bitter thing to me. That's the work of God. That's how God works in us. Does God do that to you? Does God show you how foolish and how bitter are your sins? That's the faithful work of God. There are churches who say today, well, God doesn't want anything bad to happen in His children's lives. God, they have a great question. They say, how can good people experience bad things? Well, that's not the question we should be asking. We should understand that Jehovah is a holy and a faithful God, and that when we walk in the ways of sin, He will bring us to a genuine sorrow for sin. And this is the way that God accomplishes repentance in our hearts. God gives us to feel our sins, gives us to feel the horror of those sins, and gives us to know that only through Him and through His Son can we have any relief from the horror and the burden of those sins. If you don't know your sin, what it really is, you cannot know Jesus Christ. And in faithfulness to bring us to the wonder of Christ and the wonder of His love and mercy, God also gives us to know the horror of our sin. And He brings us home. He brings us back to His fold and to the enjoyment of salvation. When Naomi returned, the city of Bethlehem was all in a stir. The women said, "Is this not Naomi?" The men, we read, were busily off in the barley harvest, so the city was mainly composed at that point of women as Naomi returned with Ruth, her daughter-in-law. And they rejoiced. There was great joy to see her. There was amazement. "Is this Naomi? Can it be?" "Yes, it's her, though she's older. Though she seems to be bearing a heavy load upon her soul, yes, she's our sister. She's etched in the memory of our hearts. We can't forget her." There was joy. They called their friends and neighbors together and said, "This is Naomi." What a wonderful picture that is. The wonderful picture of a sinner being restored into the fellowship of the church. Perhaps there were the carnal element in Bethlehem who were not excited, who said, well, what about it that she's back home, and weren't thrilled at all. But for the true people of God in Bethlehem, they were overcome with joy. Naomi is come home. God has restored her to her place among us. The people of God were glad. Is that your response too? If one who formerly confessed Jesus Christ and then went astray and now is brought back by the wonderful grace of God, how do you greet them? Do you greet them with joy in your heart? If one whose life is under a cloud, their sins have been revealed because God would not let them slide into hell. God would not let them rest under a covering of silence, and now their sins have been revealed, and God has brought repentance, so that everyone knows the terrible sin, and the church has also announced the wonder of their repentance. Do you greet such a person with joy? Are you moved with great joy? The joy of a restored sinner brought back into the fold of the church? Sometimes our response is self-righteousness. Sometimes we look at such a person and say, I would never do that. And sometimes in disdain and self-righteousness, we shove them away. We don't want anything to do with them. That's wicked. That shows us far from the kingdom of heaven in our own hearts. A sinner brought back home again? The church built up as the body of confessing, repenting, contrite sinners? Oh, that's joy. Then we can have fellowship. The Church of Jesus Christ is the only place where you can have fellowship. Have you ever thought about that? You can't live and you can't have fellowship in darkness, only in the church. Let's have it ring in our hearts. God is faithful. God brings us to repentance. God brings us home again. And let there be joy in our hearts. Joy before the presence of God. When God brings his erring, prodigal sons and daughters home again. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We ask for thy blessing of the word upon our hearts through Jesus Christ. We pray, amen.